Husbands and wives have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness.
We welcome you to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Matthew O. Richardson, second counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency, and today we will be talking about helping youth and teens appropriately navigate developing relationships. I'm joined with two special guests today, both from the general boards of the auxiliaries for the church. Sister Julie Bagley, welcome.
Thank you.
And you're serving with the young women.
Yes. I serve under Sister Dalton's presidency.
That's got to be a great experience.
It's off the charts.
That's so great. Tell us just a little bit about yourself.
Happy to. I was born and raised in Salt Lake City. I married when I was 19 years old to a wonderful man in the Salt Lake Temple. We have had the honor and privilege to raise up six children.
Great.
We have four daughters and two sons. Five of them are married, and we have one that's still in the dating phase. She's in the young single adult dating phase, a senior at BYU.
And she'll probably tell you that's a whole unique world in and of itself.
It's completely different than dating at 16.
You know, this is really great, and we'll probably talk a little bit more about this. And we talked about this in our previous episode is, although maybe the practices are tweaked a little bit because of age, circumstance, even culture sometimes, principles are everlastingly the same. And sometimes we think, oh, well, the purpose of dating at this age is completely different. Well, actually, maybe the purpose is the same, but the practice might be a little different to
yes.
be appropriate. Does that make sense? Because
yes.
I think that's important to distinguish.
I think at 16, your friendships and learning skills, and at age 22, you're looking more for an eternal companion.
Yeah, this is great. We also have Charles Cutler, who is with the Young Men General Board. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Will you introduce yourself, please?
Yes. I was raised primarily here in the Salt Lake Valley. Met my wife at Brigham Young University, and we were married now a little over 25 years. We have seven children. Our oldest is actually a student at BYU right now, and then we just became grandparents here a couple months ago.
Oh, so congratulations.
That's been thrilling. From our daughter, not my oldest son. He's married, and then my daughter's married, and then we have our son who's on a mission in Mexico.
Great.
And then we have four children still at home, the youngest being 10, a 10-year-old, a 13-year-old, a 15-year-old, and a 17-year-old. So we're right in the throes of the whole dating scene.
You know, this is great as parents and leaders trying to help individuals navigate. It's kind of tricky sometimes because we don't want to be too preachy. We don't want to be overbearing. We don't want to be a term that's very popular in the research right now, helicopter parents hovering all the time. But at the same token, we do have a sacred responsibility to teach our children, to mentor our children and those youth of which we have a calling to do. And I think back on one of my favorite talks. This was years ago by Elder Holland. It was back in 1995 in priesthood session. And, you know, in the way that's so unique to Elder Holland, he uses words almost as if it's a paintbrush, and he paints vivid and wonderful imagery. But he said this, "We who have already walked that portion of life's path that you are now on, try to call back to you somewhat of or something of what we have learned. We shout encouragement. We try to warn of pitfalls or perils along the way. Where possible, we try to walk with you and keep you close to our side." And then he says, "Believe it or not, we were once young." You know, and I just,
yeah.
But I think that this is a good way to start this segment is what we're trying to do is not to tell the way it is or overwhelm individuals, but at the same token say, you know what? There's something important going here. And prophets are saying, we've been down this path. And with the eyes we have now, let's share. In a previous episode, we talked about the importance of not just talking about practice, but overall purpose. And I really enjoyed that. I am so grateful that I learned so much from you and felt of your perspective on this, because really this is the greater whole. And so when we look at it today, I'm hoping maybe what we can do in the next a little amount of time that we have together is we said that there are purposes that the Lord has for these experiences. There's a purpose, for example, even before you start to date, there's a purpose the Lord wants individuals to know how to get along with anyone and everyone, regardless of gender, regardless of age, is to learn that skill. And then we come to the season of dating. And I think that's purposeful. There's something that's supposed to be happening there. So I hope that we can explore, what is the purpose? At least what's the church's stand on the purpose for dating? Why are they dating? And then I'd like to talk a little bit about steady dating. My kids think that I'm really old-fashioned, out of date, because sometimes I'll call it courting. And yet the church will use the term courting sometimes, but steady dating. There's a purpose for all of these seasons. There's even a purpose for engagement, actually. Yeah. And there's a purpose for marriage. And so here we have two experts dealing with youth throughout the world. So here we go. Tell me a little bit. What do you think, or how have you seen the church teaching the purpose of dating? Because I think the youth should understand, here's why we want you to date, or here's what's supposed to be happening in this season. And if we go beyond that, we're probably missing the mark and the blessing. So what have you learned from the purpose?
You know, one is that I think is important is that the church encourages dating.
So it's not evil and bad, huh?
And we have to be careful with that, because I think sometimes we do this as leaders and as parents. It's like, don't date, don't date, don't date, don't date. Then at age 16, it's like, why aren't you dating? Now let's get dating. And then when they turn, you know, then they come home off their mission. It's like, then we're really down. Like,
that's right.
Let's get a move on. Pair up. Why aren't you pairing up more?
And if you don't do it, I'll do it for you.
That's right. It comes back to what, as you led into this, of do they understand the purpose? Do they understand the reason, time and a season, as we discussed in the last time we met, of why dating is important in their teenage years? And to me, one of the great purposes is this learning how to communicate, to get to know a person, because at some point in time in their life, the objective is they are going to pick someone that they're going to live with forever. And that's a big decision.
That's pretty big, especially when you say the word forever.
Forever. And so you better learn, or have the opportunities to learn, how to pick. And one is learning how to communicate. And when I say communicate, most people think, oh, yeah, they've got to learn how to talk. Well, communication is just – listening is just as important as speaking. And so those opportunities that at age 16 of just having and sometimes it's uncomfortable, that's good. Go out with the opposite sex. This is wonderful. It's good. Talk. Get to know each other. And you're going to find some that you kind of like, that was all right, and others not. And that's good. That's all part of it.
The dating process, it seems, you learn an awful lot about other people, but you also learn an awful lot about yourself. And this is a stretching experience. And some people say, it's so awkward. Well, when you practice and you have these experiences, it becomes less awkward because you're starting to learn how to be able to get along, to communicate, et cetera. Very nice. Julie?
I think an interesting thing that's happened since I was a young woman and dated, and even some of my older children who are in their 30s, there's been a huge culture shift to the youth hanging out versus dating. And, I think there's a place for hanging out.
No, I think that's important to specify, because it does serve a purpose. But that's an important part, is even hanging out has a purpose, and when used appropriately, it can bring great blessings. Because some people say you're always slamming hanging out and stuff, but it's usually when hanging out is in the wrong season, the wrong time, the wrong place, or for the wrong purpose.
Right. So, they can't hang out forever. So it does serve a great purpose, but when they get older, the church does encourage dating, because they need to learn the skill of a one-on-one experience. And, you know, when I was young, I was called up on the telephone by a young man who invited me out, and we went somewhere. And now, oftentimes, I've seen a young man text a girl and see if she wants to come hang out. And that's okay for certain times and seasons. But I think dating is where we learn the best how to communicate well. I think group dating is what the church encourages as we turn 16, but that is not hanging out. That is going.
See, this is an important distinction. Keep going on this, because this is important to understand.
Yeah. So that is when a young man and a young woman pair up and go out with other young men and young women. But there's one young man and one young woman paired together in a group. And, you know, they're responsible for each other.
This is nice. Because I think, you know, President Kimball and President Hinckley, I mean, they have specifically said, you know what dating is, at least from a church's standpoint? It's when they pair off together, a young man and young woman pair off together. But some people don't understand. I appreciate your distinction here because they say, well, I read in the For the Strength of the Youth pamphlet and it says that we should group date. But there's an element here is actually they're paired off and yet they have – there's a reason why we go and group date for that season of that age, and we'll probably broach that in a second. But I like this. It has a different purpose because we're learning how to get along with a singular
person. One-on-one, how to talk, how to communicate.
Most people aren't very good at this.
And group dating is wonderful because these young men and with the new age of young women and young men going on dates, which is younger, that it's nice if they've had a little experience before they go so that when they come home from their missions and, you know, you encourage more steady dating, they've had some experience. They don't come home not knowing how to date or relate.
This is funny. I think when I was a bishop at a university ward, watching the developing relationships within those people in my ward, sometimes I get so frustrated and I said, what are they thinking? These guys, they should know better. And then we were driving home one time and I thought, maybe they don't know better. Where did they learn? Who taught them about dating? Who taught them about the purpose of pairing? Who taught them of what should be taking place? And then there's another stage. This isn't all about romance, physical affections, a different Porsche, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So my wife and I, we came up with what we call the Richardson Dating Academy so that our children would not be stupid and so that they would know better. And one of the things we do is we go out and we observe. So we take them down to places where people date and we start when they're 13. We say, okay, let's go watch. And I say, watch this group over here. What do you notice? And one of the things, and this is why I bring this up is what you're saying is, one of the things they'll say is, okay, I can't, they're together as a group over here, these guys and these girls, but I can't tell who's with whom. I can't tell that they're actually on a date, but I'm assuming they are, but I can't tell by the way they interact. It's not that they have to be exclusive and can't talk to anyone else, but he couldn't see a pairing whatsoever. I thought that was quite insightful is because while they're having experience, it's probably not yielding the same type of fruits because they're not learning how to be able to do this.
Well, to what you said at the very beginning, we have gone down this road ourselves.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the road that I went down, I remember early on starting to date, I would write down questions and I would stick them in my pocket because I knew there was going to be silent moments and that was just dreadful for me. So I'd think, okay, I'll ask her about, you know, and I'm thinking, I'd write all these things, but that was a good thing. That was a good thing to learn. And, you know, and as the more I did it, the more I didn't have to have, you know, writing and kind of slipping in and looking in my pocket like, oh, yeah, now ask her this. It's a quiet moment and so forth. But I did. I was surprised when I dropped my son off at college here a year ago. I'm dropping him off and he's expecting this, okay, get good grades. And I'm going to give him this little pep talk. And this is what I told him. This is the truth. I said, son, I'm only going to ask you to do one thing. I want you to go on 5 dates this semester. And he looked at me and said, are you being serious? And I said, I am being serious. I was serving in a stake presidency, young single adult stake presidency. And I saw the struggles they had with dating and hanging out and that balance of it. And I said, and son, you remember what? We have an academy too in our home.
That's
and we
awesome.
Use Elder Oaks' as the 3 P's, son. Plan it out. Pay for it, and pair up. I want 5 of those. And by the way, he didn't do really well on it. We'd call him and say, oh, well, Dad, it's just hard to meet someone and so forth, but it needs to be encouraged and explained why.
This is really nice, and I like this, as there's a mentoring going on. But because I look at my own navigating and my own personal experience, and by the way, that didn't make what I experienced right. And looking back on it, there's one thing is I would have liked a little bit of help to see some of these things. So I like these ideas that you are allowing them and encouraging them and teaching them. And this is really good.
I have a friend that would also offer her son, I will pay for the 5 dates if you promise me you will go and fulfill what we've asked you to do. We will pay. Because she knew that was a struggle for her son, but she wanted him to date. It worked.
Look, it worked. There we go. You know, this is an interesting thing we brought this up is the culture is ever shifting. And once again, I am not opposed to different change, but it does change the times. And so we as parents and leaders need to be appropriate to the challenge we face in our culture. So we mentioned about hanging out. When I was younger at dances, you go to school dances, we would dance with someone. You'd go up and you'd go through that painful process of walking across the floor and say, would you dance with me on a slow dance? But when I was young, even fast dances, you'd walk across and you would say, would you like to dance? And then you'd go out and stand in front of each other. This right. was talking about humiliation galore, because I always thought I could not dance. Yeah. And then you dance in front of someone. When I tell my children this, they cannot imagine that you would do that. But my point being is, it seems that every step in every social custom that helped individuals to learn to be able to get along as groups and individuals, the individual part is starting to go. No wonder we're having such struggles when it comes to intimate relationships. And by intimate, I'm not just talking about sexual relationships, but intimate relationships where we share each other's lives, for example, in marriage. Why it's such a struggle? Because we're not practicing and understanding the opportunity. Dating by the church's standards, as you so wonderfully pointed out, is a pairing with an intended purpose to learn to appreciate others. It's about friendship. From everything I can see and everything, it's to learn to become friends with individuals. Is that fair?
Yes. You marry your best friend.
And here's one of the dangers of social media. I think there's a lot of good that can come from social media, but one of the dangers is too many of the youth are using that exclusively as a filter of who they will date. They get online, they look, right. they look at a picture. They make a judgment on one picture or one comment.
In my day and age, we call that the yearbook.
The yearbook, exactly. It was the yearbook. And even then, it wasn't so, you had to go find the yearbook. You had to say, well, is that a good picture? Is that a bad picture? Now you see all the content there. And to some degree, that can be helpful. But is it limiting the more interaction that should occur, and sometimes not comfortable interaction, that awkward conversations, learning and find out, that person just wasn't right for me. And not based on, the picture, I didn't like the pictures and some of the comments, therefore I'm not going to try it. But did they really try?
Right. I like this. As a matter of fact, when you say interaction, I was thinking of the same thing. I might call it living. It's because that's really what it is. We know so much about a person with ever having to live with them, kind of a thing. Social media sometimes gives you every detail of intimate details, but we're not intimate. And we've never had that living experience together. I like what's happening.
And
here.
Often they use media as a crutch to not have to communicate because it is scary sometimes or uncomfortable, or they have to stretch to make that phone call or walk across that dance floor or whatever. So they use that to as an excuse to, not ask out.
In fact,
or invite
to my son, when I said date, if I want 5 dates, I said, and you better not send a text asking for. Because I wanted
you're
him.
You're a demanding father.
I know. Yeah. I wanted him. I told him. I said, I want you to have that uncomfortable asking, and they may say no, or I've got a boyfriend, or I'm married. That was kind of awkward. Any of those, that's okay. That's part of learning.
Well, we laugh about this in our home because part of our dating academy is before you graduate and actually date, you have to go through an ask. And we actually have them call sisters and sister-in-laws and ask them out, role play it. And sometimes they'll reject you and sometimes they'll give answers. And the whole point is we want you to be able to experience it because this is what we call life.
Yeah.
This is how we deal with it, And I like with writing down questions is, this is how we deal with it at that stage, and we improve. These are great, great ideas.
Well, I wish we had had you around to inspire us with a Bagley Family Academy. We didn't have that. But, one thing that we did always try to do with our, children that were of dating age is to do a role play, a family home evening thing to teach skills.
This is good.
But we also wanted them to learn by example. We wanted them to learn the skills in our home so that they were comfortable with dating, with talking to us. But we also wanted, when they went to a dance or they did actually go on a group date, they felt comfortable coming back to our home.
This is nice.
It was an environment where dating was accepted and encouraged, but also there's rules and guidelines and curfews and such. And so we wanted them to feel safe in an environment, and we wanted our home to be one of those places they felt that way.
I like this. As a matter of fact, that's for strength of the youth, right? That little line that says is we want your parents to know who you're dating. We want them to be involved in this because of what's mentoring going on, seeing, feeling, et cetera.
Exactly.
This is great. Let me ask you a question real quick about physical affection. What is the role of romance or physical affection from a church's perspective with this season of dating? Where does this fit, or maybe it doesn't fit? What's being taught here that will help them navigate this appropriately?
Yeah, one thing that comes to mind that, again, we have to be careful with is God's eternal plan.
Right. Big pictures.
Big pictures is a man and a woman are to come together and be united in marriage and to use these sacred and wonderful powers of procreation. The intimacy is a beautiful and wonderful thing. Sometimes we speak, you know, so concerned, which we are, of breaking the law of chastity, that some of our youth look at that intimacy as also one day it's terribly wrong, and then they're married, and the very next day it's good. And
right.
That, again, here's this communication and this the discussions that need to happen in the homes, in the churches, of explaining a relationship. I'll ask my kids. I'm do as the prophet said and about dating seriously, but you know, did the young man kiss you, to my daughter?
Yes.
Or I asked my son, did you give her a kiss? And not looking at that as a bad thing, but also just don't go kiss everyone or hold everyone's hand. There's a reason for that. There, you're starting to show some affection at the appropriate time,
right,
and place, and knowing there are bounds.
This is good, because I think of it when you say appropriate time and places, there's a quote that I love that frames a bigger picture here. It's President Kimball. Boy, he talks so much about relationships. He was a man ahead of his times. I guess he was a prophet and a seer, right?
Yes, okay. He was.
He said this, but the timing, it is the timing that is so vital. It is wrong to do even the right things at the wrong time, in the wrong place, under the wrong circumstances. And so sometimes they'll say, no, wait a second, be careful about your kisses. President Kimball talked about that. Be, you know, conservative, mm-hmm, here, etc. I think he was trying to teach is this is something that's a seasonal experience. And so sometimes my kids will say, why is kissing so bad? And as a parent, I'm thinking, oh, what do I say to this one? Because I really want to say, actually, it's not. It's pretty fun. It's pretty nice, you know, kind of a thing. However, it's nice and it's good in the nice timing, in the right time, right place. And this is one of the things that this relationship thing with the seasons of the church that does so nicely is say, wait a second, don't panic when you're dating to think you have to start to get into the physical intimacy right off the bat, because there is a time for that. The question is this the right time in the right place? And the church helps us navigate through this, I think.
Exactly. I love what both of you had said. I learned a great deal about this through President Hinckley. And one of the favorite messages he ever offered that was helpful to us as parents is this quote he said. He said, "The Lord has made us attractive to one another for a great purpose, but this very attraction becomes a powder keg unless it is kept under control. It is beautiful when handled in the right way. It is deadly if it gets out of hand."
Yeah.
And so just as Brother Cutler said, it's pure, it's natural, it's good, it's what we're, you know, we're here to create eternal families. But like you said earlier, there's a time and a season for everything. I think kisses are special. You know, they shouldn't – what did one of them say? They shouldn't be given out like candy kisses.
Right. Or pretzels. President Gill would call them pretzels.
Yeah, pretzels. And it's not a sin. It's just it can become a powder keg if not kept under control and holding hands. And then pretty soon one kiss isn't enough, and you know, and so that's the
right.
You know, through the Spirit and through obedience and following prophets is how you learn.
This is really good, and I think that this is helpful, because I work a great deal with college age students that are in the more serious, at least the consequential serious. They're going, oh my gosh, this could lead to marriage. And they're worried about things, and they often talk about, I don't know where we stand. I don't know how to read the relationships that I'm in. I don't know where we're at. And they don't want to say that they're dating, whatever that's supposed to mean, you know, kind of a thing. And so they always have what they commonly call the DTR, the define the relationship, you know, kind of a talk. And I often tell them, I said, you know what would be good is if you allowed the relationship to define the relationship. And they're like, oh, boy, wait, I don't understand what you're talking about. But what happens is sometimes they're taking elements from different seasons, things that married couple would do, and they're doing them in a dating or – and not even a steady dating, or they're mixing them up. And as a result, these markers to help to see meaningful experiences are so mixed up, they're no longer meaningful. And so if we're kissing everybody, we shouldn't probably be kissing – well, we shouldn't. We shouldn't be kissing all of our friends. That's not what friends do. But it should hold something. Now I hope that I don't expose too much, but my children often use us as we say, use us as the bad guys. If you need out, use us. And so I'll get cryptic texts or a phone call, and they're kind of talking. And go, you want to leave, don't you? Yes, Dad. You need to come home right now. And then they'll say, my dad says I have to come home right now. And that's great. But my son texted me not long ago. He's 16 years old, and he was at a group activity, and he said, do you need me home? You know, kind of thing. So I text him, come home right now. Do you need me to come pick you up? And he came home and he says, I was at this group activity and we were just watching this really short little video, and this girl wanted to cuddle with me. And I'm like, how did you know? And he goes, Dad, come on. How do I know? Kind of thing. And I go, well, what happened? He goes, Dad, if I would, and this is why I bring this up, if I would have cuddled with her, it would have been a lie. And I thought, something's going on here where what you were saying, Julie, is important, is if we allow relationship things to hold meaning and help youth understand that this isn't just a kiss or an activity or a cuddle or whatever it might be, is it has a purpose, allow it to use it, don't panic, be patient, because these things will come in due time. I think sometimes they're panicked of, if I don't have a boyfriend right now, I'll never experience true love. Yeah. Does this make sense?
Yes, absolutely. Total sense.
And all these things are line upon line.
Nice.
And the line upon lines, though, have to be – well, they don't have to be. They're understood and they become internalized when there's a sharing going on between the children and the parents to what you've done.
Nice.
You're having this conversation and explaining these things, and them just not on their own. And unfortunately, there's a lot of homes where they don't have that.
So where do they find that?
That's where the leaders need to come in with the church, and they need to be identified. Sadly, there are a lot of broken homes, and they're not having this conversation with a father or a mother. Maybe a single parent home, and so they need that. And the leaders of the church identify them and saying it's just more than just I got to help them get to church,
right?
Is a relationship being developed with this youth that is vulnerable that I can help in these discussions that we're having? But it won't happen unless you know them and you love them.
That's right. That's so nice.
Yeah. And we're all about strengthening home and family. And certainly we do live in broken homes. And in my experience, once in a while, I have seen where parents actually encourage dating before they're 16.
Sure.
Because you know, they want their son or daughter to be happy, to be popular, to have friends. And so as leaders, we are a great instrument in the Lord's hands in teaching principles on Sunday and mutual that are correct and right, so that these youth will, you know, have that path to the temple.
That's so good. I think of in 2 Nephi, it talks about when we consecrate our performance to the Lord, then the Lord will consecrate our performance to the welfare of our soul. And consecration is often the setting apart experience. And so when we come down, we say, okay, here's a really great activity, but keep it in its appropriate season. Consecrate it for that time. And if you'll wait upon the Lord, or do it in the way that the prophets, I love this obedience, the prophets have asked, then the Lord will consecrate your living to the welfare of your soul. I think that this is a powerful concept, and I think sometimes this is the hardest thing is dealing with youth, is they're so full of energy and vision and, you know, they just want to live as far as that goes. And patience is tough. It's a maturity experience, which maturity comes from the old French, which means to be ripe. There's a ripening that needs to come up, but they need help. So let me ask you, we're almost out of time. In your experience, both of you serve on general boards for young men and the young women. What resources are available to parents and to leaders and even to youth to help them to do these wonderful things that you're saying about line upon line, being patient, sometimes knowing the standards are so helpful without hitting them over the head with here's the do and the don't list, but what resources are available to young men and young women that will help parents and leaders and the youth?
Let me suggest one, and it's not going to be for the strength of youth. You may want to talk about that, Julie.
Progress.
But this is the one that comes to me, and I think of this more, I'm thinking of this as a father.
Okay.
Not necessarily as a young man or on the board of the young men.
Excellent.
I was invited to memorize the family proclamation. And initially, I began to memorize that because I was challenged to do it. I thought it would be just good for my mind to memorize
sure.
things. And I began – and I had studied that on several occasions. But memorizing the family proclamation had a tremendous impact on me, even as it pertains to dating. And what I mean by that is such a wonderful, wonderful truth that prophets have given us that help us understand the big picture.
Sure.
Why do we date? It's explained in the family proclamation. How do we date? In a doctrinal sense.
Sure.
And when you have that, then you always have that as a guideline to the, some of the specifics, the applications of how it's done. That has blessed me as a father to some degree as much as anything.
I like this. This is good. Julie?
I think we must have been divinely assembled together because as a Stake Young Women's president, I did the same thing. I memorized the proclamation, and I needed it to help me to be a good leader and a good mentor to these young women. But I have marveled at the Lord's hastening of the work and how he has put forth the personal progress and duty to God at this time. But as a young woman leader, the personal progress received the value of virtue
right.
in 2009. And as, you know, the youth weren't quite sure what the word virtue meant, but in our sense, it means chastity and moral purity. And, you know, as President Packer has pointed out, these youth are being raised in enemy territory. And that's made dating, you know, even more difficult and challenging with what they face out in the world. And so to see virtue come at this time and to have these young women learn in their deep into their hearts and souls what virtue is and to have worked on that great attribute and value is teaching them
That's
better
nice.
Skills in dating.
That's really nice.
Can I just add one other resource,
sure.
which obviously being in the young man, duty to God. And what
you
I mean from this
know, can
is
I interrupt
just,
real quick?
Yeah.
Is this is one of my favorite parts about duty to God. It's actually yeah. the small print at the very beginning. It says fulfilling my, and then the big print, mm-hmm. duty to God. I
right.
love that, fulfilling
yeah.
my duty.
Right.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt Charles,
well,
but I love that aspect because yeah. it's not some duty to God. It's mine.
And thank you for saying that. Thank you. One of the components of duty to God is what we've been talking about of learn, act, share.
Right.
And learn the doctrine. Act upon it, and then share it with others. Communicate, which we've been talking about. And it's a pattern. Now, we're not learning, acting, and sharing on dating, but it's the pattern. It develops wonderful patterns of gospel learning that can be so resourceful in dating and all aspects of our life.
This is so good. And I'm going to say the same thing about personal progress. My favorite word in that one is personal. This is personal.
Yeah.
This is my duty and it, because it's a discipleship experience. I think that we would agree that there's not a dearth out there for people who would like to teach their children or leaders of how to do this. I mean, LDS.org, you have the youth websites that are so rich with media and living experiences to show youth of how to navigate not just dating but relationships in general that apply to this. One of the things we're finding in our research with married couples is sometimes the things that married couples are struggling with are things that they skipped over in their development of their relationships. They didn't really date or learn how to have friendship. They skipped right into courting. And so the thing that's absent is they're not very good friends. And it's like, well, actually, you can improve this. You're going to have to start dating. And they're like, what? We're married.
Exactly.
You can't skip these developmental stages. Thank you so much for your time. I thought maybe I'm going back to Elder Holland's talk in Priesthood, a little line that would be an appropriate way to maybe close our discussion because we're not going to close this topic. This is something that should be continued to be spoken of in homes especially and in our quorums and in our classes and in our gathering together. But Elder Holland said this. He said, "When you are young, not all of life's questions and difficulties have arisen yet, but they will arise. And unfortunately, for your generation, they will arise at a younger and younger age." And then I love this part. The gospel of Jesus Christ marks the only sure and safe path. And so I just love that, is when it comes down to it, as we teach and help and mentor, if we do not solidly anchor and parallel everything within the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's good, but it's not best. And I appreciate your focus on this, because this is truly what will help. And I am not pessimistic about the future for the youth. As a matter of fact, it is a bright day in the future. These are, as you well know, they are so wonderful. But Satan understands this, and we must help, especially in the most important thing of all, which you've done so nicely to emphasize, which is that ultimate relationship that helps us to become more like our Father in heaven, not just to be with our Father in heaven. So thank you so much. You have been listening to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.